The afternoon heat lay over Casa Marino like a wool blanket soaked in hot water. It was heavy, suffocating, the kind of humidity that made the air feel solid enough to chew. Concetta sat at the kitchen table, the third letter spread out before her. Luca had left an hour ago, taking the cipher key with him a small slip of paper Andrea's eldest son had torn from the margin of the envelope, and the silence he left behind was louder than his cynical laughter. Concetta traced the ink of the decoded coordinates. Palermo. The street name was clear enough, but the number was smudged, illegible. She needed to look at the original again. The photocopy was too faint. She reached for the envelope, her fingers brushing the rough brown paper. It smelled of Marseille, or perhaps it was just the smell of distant salt and old dust and the metallic tang of a letter that had traveled farther than any human being should have to travel in peace. She slid her finger under the flap, intending only to tilt the letter toward the window light, but the paper gave way too easily. The envelope split. A second sheet of paper slid out. Concetta froze. There had only been one letter inside. She knew the weight of it. She had held it every night for 3 days, turning it over in her hands like a rosary bead, feeling the ridge of the folded page against her thumb. Now there were two, or perhaps the fold had split, revealing a hidden compartment she hadn't noticed. Her heart hammered a single, hard stroke against her ribs. She leaned closer. It was not a hidden compartment. It was a second letter. Smaller. Written in a different hand, shakier, older. The address was in Italian, but the handwriting was jagged, hurried. And at the bottom, dated 2 weeks after Andrea's supposed death in Bologna, was a postmark from Rome. Concetta's breath caught. She had told Luca there was only one letter. She had told herself there was only one letter. This was the proof she had been starving for, the proof that Andrea had written again, that he had tried to reach out, that he had not simply vanished into the ether of war without a backward glance. But it was also a danger. If Enzo found this, if Nana Rosa found this, the narrative would shatter. The hero who died in Bologna would become a liar who fled to Rome. She grabbed the letter, her hands trembling, and shoved it back into the envelope. She smoothed the tear with her thumb, trying to make the paper lie flat, trying to hide the evidence of its existence. But the envelope was already compromised. The seal was broken. The paper was crinkled. "Who is in there?" The voice came from the doorway, sharp, accusatory. Concetta jumped. The envelope slipped from her fingers and fluttered to the table. Nana Rosa stood in the archway, leaning heavily on her cane. Her eyes, clouded with cataracts, were milky white, blind to the world but somehow piercing to the truth of the kitchen. She wore her black shawl, though it was too hot for it, draped over shoulders that had shrunk over the years until she looked like a bird wrapped in a nest of feathers. "Nana," Concetta said, her voice was steady, which surprised her. "I was just sorting." Nana Rosa shuffled forward. The cane tapped against the tile, click, 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 a rhythmic accusation. She did not look at Concetta. She looked at the table, at the envelope. "You are hiding something," Nana Rosa said. "I can smell it, the smell of lies. It smells like rotting fruit." "There's nothing there, Nana, just the letter from Luca. He forgot his," Concetta lied. She didn't know what Luca had forgotten. She had sent him away to keep him from seeing this. "He forgot his notebook." Nana Rosa reached the table. She did not touch the envelope. She touched the air above it, her hand hovering like a spider testing a web. "Andrea left nothing for you to hide. He left his honor. He left his name. And you are sitting here in my house, hiding scraps of paper." "It's just mail, Nana, the afternoon post." "The afternoon post does not smell like Marseille." Nana Rosa's head tilted. Her milky eyes seemed to lock onto the envelope, though Concetta knew she could not see it clearly. "Andrea wrote to me, before he died. I had a letter, from Bologna. He said he was proud. He said he was ready. That was the last thing. That was the truth." "Yes," Concetta said, "that was the truth." "And this," Nana Rosa's hand dropped onto the table. Her knuckles were swollen, purple with arthritis. She pointed a crooked finger at the envelope. "Is this Bologna? Is this honor?" Concetta looked at the envelope. She looked at the tear. She looked at Nana Rosa's face, pale and tight with the effort of holding onto a memory that was the only thing she had left. If Nana Rosa knew that Andrea had written from Rome, that he had lived, that he had lied, Nana Rosa would not just be angry. She would be undone. The perfect martyr would become a fraud. And Concetta would be the woman who destroyed him. I don't know what you're talking about, Kinsetta said. Please go back to your room, you need your rest. Nana Rosa snorted, a dry, rattling sound. I don't need rest, I need to burn this filth. Before Kinsetta could move, Nana Rosa's hand shot out. She grabbed the envelope. Her grip was surprisingly strong, fueled by a sudden surge of adrenaline and rage. She pulled the envelope open, tearing it further, and dumped its contents onto the table. The third letter slid out, and the second letter, the one from Rome, flipped over, landing face up. Kinsetta gasped, "No." Nana Rosa picked up the letter from Rome. She held it in her wrinkled hands, squinting at the jagged handwriting. She couldn't read it, not really, not the words, but she could see the ink. She could see the date, and she could see the postmark. Rome, not Bologna. Liar, she whispered. The word was small, broken. He was a liar. Then she reached for the candle. It was on the sideboard nearby, a tall beeswax pillar that Nana Rosa lit every evening for the saint's image in the hallway. The flame was still burning, a small yellow tongue licking the wick. Nana Rosa picked it up. The heat of the flame warmed her face, but she did not flinch. She brought the candle down to the table. She brought it to the letter. Nana, stop, Kinsetta lunged. But she was too slow. Nana Rosa touched the flame to the corner of the paper. The brown paper caught instantly. It curled, blackening, then glowing orange. The flame raced along the edge, hungry and fast. Nana Rosa held it there, her face impassive, her milky eyes staring at the smoke as if she were watching a ghost. She was consuming the lie. She was consuming Andrea's betrayal. She was cleansing the house. Kinsetta screamed. It was a raw, animal sound that tore through the humid air. She threw herself across the table, her hands slamming down onto Nana Rosa's wrists. The candle tipped, spilling wax onto the table, but Kinsetta didn't care. She grabbed the burning letter from Nana Rosa's grip. It was hot, searing hot. The paper curled and blackened under her grip, biting into her skin. She dropped it onto the tile floor and stomped on it, her heel grinding the charred remains into the grout, crushing the brittle fragments, trying to erase the evidence with the brute force of her panic. Dust rose, thin and gray, smelling of scorched fiber and old ink. Nana Rosa stared at her. You saved it, she said. Her voice was flat, disappointed. You saved the lie. Kinsetta stood up. Her hands were red, blistering, throbbing with pain. She looked down at the floor. The letter was a mess of charred fragments. Most of it was gone. The edges were ash. The center was a blackened skeleton of paper, but one corner remained intact. A small triangle of white paper, untouched by the flame. On that triangle, the ink was still legible. Si non altro per dirci. If nothing else, to tell you that. Kinsetta fell to her knees. She didn't care about the ash on her skirt. She didn't care about the smoke stinging her eyes. She reached out with her good hand, her left hand, the one that wasn't burned, and picked up the fragment. It was fragile, brittle. It would disintegrate if she breathed on it too hard. Nana Rosa turned away. She shuffled back toward the doorway, her cane tapping the rhythm of defeat. Click, click, click. Let it burn, Nana Rosa said. Let it all burn. She disappeared into the hallway. The door to her room closed with a soft click. Kinsetta was alone in the kitchen. The smoke lingered, hanging low in the heavy air. She held the fragment between her thumb and forefinger. The skin on her right hand was raw, stinging where the flame had touched her. She brought the fragment to her nose. It smelled of smoke, but underneath, faintly, she could still smell the ink. And underneath that, the faint, ghostly scent of Marseille. Per dirci. To tell you that. That what? That he was sorry, that he was afraid, that he loved her, or that he did. She didn't know, the rest was ash, the rest was gone. Kinsetta sat on the kitchen floor, her back against the table leg, and held the fragment in the dim light. Outside, the sea crashed against the cliffs, a rhythmic, indifferent sound. The house was silent. Enzo was out on La Speranza. Luca was gone. Nana Rosa was in her room, praying to a saint who would not help her. And Kinsetta was alone with a piece of paper that was almost nothing. She closed her eyes. She thought of Andrea. Not the hero who died in Bologna, not the liar who fled to Rome, but the man who had packed his bags in the summer of 1942. The man who had flinched when he kissed her goodbye. The man who had been afraid. She was afraid too. But she was not done. Kinsetta opened her eyes. She looked at the fragment. She looked at the ash scattered on the tiles, and she began to gather it, piece by piece. Carefully, deliberately, she would save what she could. She would keep the ash. She would keep the burns. She would keep the truth, however small, however broken. Because it was hers. And it was all she had. The afternoon light faded. The shadows lengthened across the kitchen floor. Concetta sat in the dark, her hands stained with soot, holding the weight of a single, impossible sentence. The silence in the kitchen did not stretch. It settled, heavy and final, pressing against the window panes until the world outside seemed to hold its breath.